nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. I want to ask you something this morning. Is that the kind of man that you would like to be, that I would like to be? That's my desire for my life. I hope it's for yours. Let's pray. Father, we're just thankful for you. We thank you, Lord, that you're the only one who can change a man and a woman's heart too, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless these men, that they would be the kind of men that others would look at and want to be just like and want to know what changed their hearts and their lives. Protect them, Lord, with your spirit. Protect them physically, spiritually. Guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Let them walk by the streams of water, which is your truth, your word, and let them apply that to their lives, that it would be good for them, and you would bless them in everything they do. And we thank you in Christ's name this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Yes. This morning we're talking about a father's love out of Ephesians 5, and you have a place in the back of your bulletin to make some notes. It says here in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When we think of Father's Day, we think of honoring fathers, we think of family love, we just think of good things, but you know, just living in this life, we know that it's not always like that, is it? Things happen. And many Americans feel that we live in a fatherless society. So that means today that for some, it won't be a happy Father's Day. Someone once said it's easier for a father to have children than it is for children to have a father. But this was not God's plan for the family that he had created out of Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. This was the beginning of families. So today's message is not just about fathers, but it's about moms, it's about men, women, and all of us here today. You know, over the years, we've reflected and looked back on our lives to recognize and be very, very thankful that we grew up in a time when life was a lot simpler than it is today for some reason. Why was that? Why was life different back then? Well, the values were different. There was respect. There were absolutes, credibility, and godliness. And church was the center of the community, like in the early church in the book of Acts. In school, we prayed. The teacher had a Bible on their desk. We read scripture. We pledged allegiance to the flag every day. Do you know that on Wednesdays, we were dismissed early out of our regular school to attend a Bible school at our local church? Do you know that? We even had the Lord's Prayer. We had the Ten Commandments in the courtrooms and in public places. I mean, when you think about it, how could they have permitted such wonderful, godly things to take place? Men and women had their roles as husbands and wives, and as a family, they did as the Bible instructed them to do and be. Ephesians 5 and 6 compares marriages to Christ and the church, loving each other, mutual respect, men taking authority as leader and head of the family and not lording it over their wives and their children. 1 Peter 3 tells us, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in Christ. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. The husband and wife and the family unit, it's a commitment that we come together. And what you become is only second in line to God. not looking to the world for acceptance or approval, but looking to God, looking to each other for your help and your hope. And we often wonder why our prayers go unanswered. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Love your wife as yourself, and let her do the same, and to respect and submit to her husband." It's a reciprocal type of love, like we have with God, vertically, but then it extends out horizontally to our family and to our friends. Reciprocal love, just like God expects from us. Can you imagine if we never told God or our family that we loved or cared about them? What kind of a relationship would that be? I think God was very grieved when we don't tell him that we love him. If we don't tell our spouses that we love them, they get grieved. I get grieved. I know that. But you know, most moms and dads were like that when I grew up. But it seems like today it's out of fashion. It's not politically correct. It's not the popular way. And it seems like we almost grew up in a different time zone, the 40s, 50s, and the 60s. And if any family could be like what God expects from us, I really believe it was our family, the Ash family back then. You know, mom and dad lived simple lives, us boys. We lived in a small three-bedroom ranch up there in Harvey Cedars. We lived just simple lives. And our parents made a lot of sacrifices for us. And they did that because we could have a good family environment, that things would go well. Dad drove a great distance to work every day, just so we could live down here at the shore and have a good life. And mom took care of us and made sure that we stayed healthy. And you know, when things got rough and we had extra expenses, she went and got an extra job. Sacrifices, godly principles and family values. You know, dads and moms pressed in back then. They didn't give up, and they just wanted life to be everything that God wanted it to be. Our mom and dad, they loved us, they taught us, and they disciplined us too, just like our Heavenly Father does sometimes, and the Bible instructs. Hebrews 12:6 says this, "Just as the father disciplines his child, so the Lord disciplines those whom he loves." You see, it was God's love, and it was our parents being the kind of people that God wanted them to be, that shaped and molded our lives into what we are today. Maybe some of you here today, you're going through difficult times. You're asking why. Why is this shaping and molding process going on? I can assure you that God has not forgotten you. And our Heavenly Father, he's a potter, and that's what he does. And he did that to my life many, many years ago to show me how much he loves me. And sometimes my life was pretty unruly, as some of you know. I mean, it looked like that nasty clay when it's first thrown on the potter's wheel. And we ask, how can anything beautiful come out of a situation like that? And then the skillful, loving potter goes to work, God shaping and molding us into something very, very beautiful. A story is told of a young boy who brought home a butterfly cocoon for a class project. And because of his impatience, he just couldn't stand to let it sit there and develop into what God had created it to be. And he took a pair of scissors and he started to snip. And he snipped at it and he snipped at it, only to realize that it wasn't going to be what God had created it to be. And because of that, that butterfly would never open its spread its wings and fly and be beautiful. And sometimes we get ahead of God and we don't wait for the shaping and the molding process to go on. We try to get ahead of God, but it's not God's timing. And God's timing is always very, very perfect. Years ago, when we lived in Harvey Cedars, there was a Jewish man down the street. He was an ex-policeman and a boxer from New York City. And we became friends over the years, and we could get together once in a while with my family and him, and he was down by himself most of the time. And this went on for a few years, and we always talked about Christ, and we actually went and celebrated the Jewish holidays at the synagogue down in Beach Haven once in a while with him. It was a wonderful time. And then he came and told us that he was very sick, and he was going to have open-heart surgery. So he came over on a Sunday afternoon, and we prayed with him, and he left that night and went home to New York City for his operation the next day. And he calls up in the afternoon and says, my operation was delayed for a week. And we said, well, we'll see you over the weekend. So he came back down, and I happened to be preaching that weekend. And we asked, would you like to come to church finally? He said, yes, I would. And he came to church that day, and he made a public proclamation of Jesus Christ, and he received Christ as his Savior. And we went home, and we stood in that living room in Harvey Cedars, and we embraced each other, and we prayed, and he left with a smile on his face, and there was something going on in his life. He knew something, but one good thing he knew, that he had received Christ as a Savior, and the Spirit of Christ was now living in him. And the next day, we got a telephone call. He had gone in for surgery that morning, and he died. He died on the operating table. But it was God's timing, his perfect timing, that was delayed for a week so he could receive Christ as his Savior. And most of the time, we want to get ahead of God, and we want to do it. And God says, wait. Wait on him, because his ways are perfect. He takes something which is so like my life, like a potter's wheel, that when you put the clay on it, it's so slimy and green and it looks so ugly. And as the potter's wheel starts to turn and it's shaped and molded, that's what God wants to do in all of our lives, to shape and mold our lives into something beautiful in his timing. And there's some of us here today that have grown up in a difficult environment. Maybe we've been adopted, or maybe we were rejected by our parents, or who knows. Maybe we never knew our parents, but God says there's hope. In Psalm 68, verse 5 and 146:9, it says, he is a father to the fatherless. He cares for the orphans and the widows, and he knows the hurts that we're going through. I've known people like that. Life seems unfair and cruel at times, but you know what? We have a God who knows all that. And we have a Savior that went to that cross of Christ. It wasn't man's cross, it was God's cross for you and for me. And he wants to adopt all of us as his children and learn to trust in him. And Romans 8, it says here, 15 and 16, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And you know, and as wonderful as my parents and yours were, they just can't compare to God. We cannot. That's why they made mistakes and why you and I do the same. And God's given us all the resources to be everything he's called us to be. We can change. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. When we receive Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ living in us to make those changes, to do what God wants us to do. We have the power to take a stand, to have absolutes in our lives. Absolutes that are contrary to the popular way of this world. You know that God wants us to be conformed to the very one who made us. Only Jesus Christ can fix us. He's the only one that can make all things new. It says in the Bible, if anybody is in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Years ago, back in the early 1900s, a family was traveling along in their Model T Ford. And all of a sudden it broke down and they didn't know what to do. And along comes this Lincoln Town Car. This well-dressed gentleman steps out of the car. And he says, what seems to be the problem? They said, we don't know what to do. It just broke down. Goes over, he makes a few adjustments on the motor. Says, try it now. Starts right up. The family was amazed. How'd you know what to do? He says, I know exactly what to do. My name is Henry Ford. I created that automobile. And with God, he knows exactly what to do. When we come broken down along the roadside of life, we try to fix our own problems and it doesn't work. Only God knows what to do to help us. He's saying he is the potter and to shape and mold us into the conformity with his will for our lives as men and women. So please don't fall in love with this world. Fall in love with the one who made the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The unpopular way, like Noah and his family. Noah was very unpopular. Genesis 6:9 says that Noah and his family, they lived for God. They didn't live for the world. I wonder if, are we real popular with the world, or Do they sort of know where we stand with God? How do we stand there? I want you to make a note of this in your notes. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Please write this down. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So how can we be the kind of moms and dads, the men and women that God offers and he wants us to be for our lives to make this family thing work out? The same way that God fixed my family's life years ago. The first is to receive the gift of eternal life that God offers through his son, Jesus Christ. It's a free gift for all who receive him. To them, he gives the right to become his children, sons and daughters to be adopted by him. Can you imagine that? Our heavenly father becomes a father-son abiding relationship that we have. And then allowing that spirit that now lives within us, the Holy Spirit of Christ, it gives us that power to receive wisdom, to make godly decisions and choices. Ephesians 5 says, be careful how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise. And then to follow these eight principles that I've given you here this morning. The first one, Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. To love God with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls, Matthew 22. It's a verb. It's an action. It's not something that it's dormant, something we want to do. And God says that we only love him because he first loved us. We need to tell God that. And then secondly, a father is supposed to be the godly leader and shepherd of the family. How do we do that? We need wisdom and understanding from God, and that's found in James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then his wife is to support and undergird him as husband and head of the lives and the family. And so many times, instead of asking God to guide her husband and give him wisdom, she assumes a leadership role. And the marriage is destined for failure. Do you know that 40% of the first-time marriages fail? 50% of the second-time marriages fail? 62% of the third marriages fail? It's a progressive failure. Can you imagine if you got an airplane and failed to follow the flight manual for flying it? Your ending would not be a good one. It would be a failure. You know, the Word of God is an instruction book for our life. It's for our families. And yet, I hear people say all the time that, oh, I had a great experience. It seemed okay, but they wonder why later it failed. Well, it didn't line up with God's inspired word. It was destined for failure. It was the world's way. It wasn't God's way. Do you know that when I was born, I saw the pictures of me coming out of the hospital in the bunting. My father was carrying me. Here's a picture of it right here. Wasn't I a cute little baby? Yeah, there I am. Yeah, curly blonde hair, towhead and everything. But I'm telling you, they didn't give an instruction booklet when I was born and my mom and dad left the hospital. The point to all of this is God has. He's given us his holy word, the Bible. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live life by. And that's what we need in our lives, to guide and to lead us in our lives. And then third, we need to be examples to our family and our friends and to this world, showing by example. Are we different? What do others see and hear? Do they want it? Everyone has a story to tell. People want to know. And you never know who might be calling or knocking on your door or stopping you over in the store or on the street to talk to you. Back in the early 90s, I had a call. I've never told this story publicly. I had a call from Bon Jovi's mother. Do you know who that is? He's a rock star. And she called me up years ago, and she said, I hear you're a godly man. I want to come over and talk to you. She said, I'm concerned about Johnny. So she came over, and we spent a little time together. And she said, do you mind if I bring Johnny over? So I said, sure. She said, I'll tell him we're going to look at one of your houses for sale. And she brought him over. And they were renting a place up in Lovelace on the ocean front. And we had a nice talk. I gave him some literature. We looked at the house for sale. And, you know, he kept calling me up. And I did go up one time. We went body surfing out in the ocean. But, you know, I neglected. I regret to this day that I didn't put more effort into that relationship. I don't know how it would have turned out. John Bon Jovi, a rock star. Whoever would have known? But you never know who's going to call. You never know who's going to knock on your door. And then number four, what values do we hold? Christ or the world? Both? You know what the Bible says about that? That we will be the most miserable if we're double-minded. What about keeping our promises, number five? Are we known for our credibility? Are we trustworthy? Is our yes, yes, and our no, no? I mean, I can remember when I was in the building business years ago when I first started, I could do a job on a handshake, a smile. That was it. I said I was going to do the work. They said they were going to pay me. And it worked out. That's the way it was. Credibility, trustworthiness, saying your yes is going to be your yes, that's all gone. That's all gone today. It doesn't work anymore. Number six, are we open to learn? Are we teachable? Never be too old or prideful to learn or receive counsel from somebody else. The Bible says God loves a humble, teachable heart. Even pastors and preachers and evangelists can do that, to be humble and be teachable. And then number seven, do we guard our hearts from the things of the world? Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else because it determines the course on which our life will travel and where we will end up eventually. You see, God wants to get into our hearts. The heart's the issue. That's the issue of the matter. The world wants to get into our minds and confuse us and deceive us. Guard our hearts because it determines where we're headed. And then number eight, are we known as a person who worships? Are we known for a person who prays and hears from God? Do our children see that? Or are they taught the ways of God? Do we read and study our Bibles? The Bible, it's a plumb line. It's a standard for life. I didn't need an instruction booklet from the state or from the hospital. I needed God's word, and my parents had God's word. And they taught it to me. We used to go to this church when it was the Union Church, when I was probably 6 and 7, maybe 5 years old, when we came down to the shore. Did I live for Christ all the time? Absolutely not. My life was unruly for many years until I rededicated my life to the Lord. He regenerated my heart from the inside out. 40 years ago, I wrote in my Bible a love letter from God to our hearts. I need that love. I need that instruction for my life, not just as a pastor, preacher, evangelist, but as a man, as a father, grandfather, great-grandfather. We all need that. Women, families. Father's Day is a very emotional time for some of us that have been wounded by life. We've been wounded by our families, others. I see it. I've had it happen. And the sad part is we've probably done a lot of that ourselves, haven't we? But Jesus Christ can change all of that. The best news today is God's day. Abba, Father, Daddy, ready to forgive, heal, empower, and wrap his arms of love around you to be your daddy for all of eternity. Let's bow our heads. What is God saying to some of us moms and dads, men and women here today, this Father's Day? He wants you to become his child, not by self-efforts, not by religion, not by head knowledge, but only by putting your trust in his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and for me. That's how much God loves us. That he would send his only begotten son to die a horrible death for you and for me. Would you believe and receive that for your life today and make that commitment? Maybe you've been involved with religion or good works. We have to surrender. We have to give up and say, thank you, Lord God, for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Is that anybody here today? Just put your hand up so I can see it. Anyone? You want to receive Christ and become his child? What about us moms and dads? How you doing with this family thing? I don't know, but God does. And he's the only one he can help us through this life. Would you be willing to ask God today to take all your cares, concerns, and surrender them to Him? That you can become exactly what God wants you to become. I want that. That's my desire. I want that for my life. Do you want that strength, that spirit of Christ to help you each and every day, no matter what you're going through? That people will call, people will come, people will stop you, and they're going to want to know, what's so different about your life? What took place? And you'll be the best mom and dad, grandfather, grandmother, whatever it is that God wants you to be. Just put your hand up if that's what you want for your life today. Yes, God bless all of you. God bless you. Father, we're so thankful for your love today. You are just a wonderful, wonderful God. We thank you, Lord, for your sustaining love, your empowering of the Holy Spirit. And again, I thank you for all these fathers and grandfathers here today. I thank you for these families, Lord, that these families are taking a stand for you and they're staying together and they're doing what you want to do in their lives. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and we're going to sing.
Our closing hymn is number 40 in our hymnals, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
We have refreshments out in the fellowship hall. We'll have folks to pray with you. If you have any questions about the message, I'll be up front. But most of all, would you take this word with you as you go this week? The love that gave us Jesus Christ is the same love that gives us the power to become what we could not come without Him, that He wants us to become through Him. Take this word for your life and expect God to do something special this week. Whether it's going to be a phone call, but it's going to be a knock on your door, a coworker, or somebody out there in the world. God will bless it. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. Bless your people. Lord, we thank you that you love us. Why would you love us? But you do. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit to empower us. Bless your people, Lord. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Have a great week. You want to see that picture? I have some 8x10s in wallet size.